So for our reading today, I'm going to read from Philippians. It's a letter of Paul, and it's from verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, please keep them open. Is this yours? No? Okay. Just hold on to that. Thanks, Judy. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, please keep them open at Philippians, the book of Philippians. Our text this afternoon is this. Simply, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In 1914, not long after the war had begun and the immense violence and the immense immensity of what was happening in Europe became evident, a reporter for the Times wrote these words. He said he again had lost a friend, even in the early months of the First World War. And he wrote these words: they went with songs to the battle. They were young. Sorry, Mom, just hold on. You're so welcome to stay. It's not worrying me. But if you want to, there's a little loudspeaker in this little room here, but it's your call. Stay for now. No problem. Okay. Just so you know. Okay. They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their face to the foe. Sorry, Mom, it's this little room here, if you want it there. Yeah, just that little one there, that door there. Otherwise, stay there. Stay there. Sorry, I just want you to feel comfortable. It's not a problem. Thank you. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. There is something powerful about remembrance. There's something very powerful about remembering when it comes to what Christ has done for us, how he has also laid down his life ahead of us. Jesus said this. He said, on the night that he was betrayed, this bread is my body, this wine is my blood. As often as you eat and drink of this in remembrance of me. That was a very powerful ordinance that he gave his disciples, a very powerful ordinance that he gave the church, to as often as we meet, eat of this bread, drink of this wine, in remembrance of me. Jesus understood how important it was that generation after generation of the church should remember that he had laid down his life in a great battle for the salvation of his people. In remembrance of me. There is something powerful in remembrance. Paul finds himself in this letter deep inside the Serpentine prison in Rome. And some of you may have been there, still there today. And the prisoners were down underground in caverns, and they put big stones. And it wasn't a love, it was a difficult place. It was a prison cell without much light. And deep in the prison cell, bound in chains, isolated and alone, because Paul had said at our first hearing, everybody had deserted me except for one. Alone in chains, bound in inner prison, he says this. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Because Paul knew this. He knew that his current circumstances were dire, they were difficult. We all have prisons of some kind sometimes to deal with. We all have great challenges sometimes to deal with. But Paul, in that situation, did what? He remembered. He remembered the church. He remembered what God was doing in the bigger picture. He remembered the mission of the church, and he was encouraged in the middle of his prison by what? Remembering. Remembrance is a powerful spiritual tool of advantage. And so today we see this, that the power of remembrance in the first part of this passage is bound in inclusivity. Now we've got to get this. If we are going to go forward as a church, if we are going to break the barriers and break into this community in a big and powerful way, we need to understand this. Paul understood the importance of the word all, inclusivity, the word all. He understood that the church didn't do anything unless all were part of it. The church couldn't be as powerful unless all were engaged with it. He understood how important that word all was. And so he says this. He says, first of all, I'm going to greet all of you. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. To all. See that word. Underline that word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, what? To all the saints. He could have just said to the saints. He could have just said to the elders and the deacons, but no, he specially included all. He included everybody when he wrote to them. He was remembering them, and he was writing to all the people in the local church. I greet all of you, all the saints, together with the bishops, another word for elders, and the deacons. Together with the elders and the deacons, you are all in my thoughts. There's no hierarchy here. In fact, in the church, the other way around, the elders and the deacons are called to be servants of the church, not hierarchy to the church. I greet all of you. There's power in the word of all. You remember that song we used to sing? Come all you vagabonds. Come all you don't belongs. Winners and losers, and all you travelers, all you questioners, and all you fallen, and come all you who are broken, those who worry, and those who couldn't give any concern at all. To the helpless, come. The hopeless, come. To the young and the old, just come. All believers and schemers, those who are restless, just those searching for a home, come to the church. Come. When we talk about achieving anything for Christ, Paul understood the power of the word all. All. We see an example of a situation in the Old Testament when Israel go out to fight and someone in the church is not right. Someone in the people of God is not right, and they disobey and they steal and they hide the treasure under their tent and they hide it there. And Joshua goes out to what should have been an easy battle, and he gets defeated over nothing with few people, having just destroyed Jericho. And something was wrong. It was because not all the people were together. Not all the people were focused on what God was doing. People had already begun to look for their own schemes, their own plans. And the whole of Israel got defeated over one person not being obedient. Well, in a sense, that example carries through to the modern church. If we cannot all get supportive of what God wants to do, we are going to be like a blunt axe. We're going to be a blunt sword. And we're going to go into battle, but we are not going to be effective in battle unless we understand that we are all in this together. There are no super Christians and not so super Christians. There are not so great people and ungreat people. We are all saved by the grace of Christ. And we are all coming to the Lord to serve Him together. When we get that, when we understand the power of the word all, then we will see something amazing. Paul's strength came from remembering all the people. He greeted all the people. I greet all of you. And then he goes on to say, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. He is encouraged and strengthened in the memory. He understood the importance of the word all. I love the way Richard today included the 22 names that were there. It's remembering all individually, each person that was engaged. That's where the power comes from. I don't know, Anderson, if you could look it up and try and get it. There's something called the Moth Shrine, Anderson. Okay, the Moth Shrine in Metopus in Bulawayo. See if you can get that up. But while we're looking for that, I want to say this, that where there are memorials of men who, and women who have gone to battle and have fallen, every memorial is poignant. Every memorial is special. But in a sense, yeah, that's it there. Thank you. That's it. In a sense, there are some memorials that just have something a little bit more to them. And the memorial I want to show you now is an amazing one. You can just get a grip. That picture on the left, is that one there, is a picture of a hat that was worn by a soldier in the First World War in the trenches. It was the tin hats that they have. And that kind of tin hat was amazing. And it just is there. Now, to get the context of that, that's fine, Anderson. I know it's small, but just there. To get the context of this, there is a massive national park called Metopus, full of mountains and rocks and everything. And if you go walking and you go exploring, you may come across this little area, this little patch in the middle of nowhere. It's just there in the middle of the rocks and the trees, and there's a plaque. And on the plaque it says, in remembrance of those who fell during the First World War from the city of Bulawayo. And there are no names there. And what people don't realize, that if you look across very close, there is a unique kind of tree, a forest of trees, of evergreen trees, which are not African. And they are... They are specially imported Christmas trees, if you will. And there's this forest of Christmas trees in the middle of the African bush, and you wonder, what's that about? And a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't realize what that's about. And it's in the middle of nowhere. But every single tree was planted for every single man that fell in the trenches of the First World War. And there in the middle of nowhere, there's a memorial to all those who fell. Here in our church, there's a plaque to all those who fell. There's something about remembering all. Remember, when you remember all, remember those who've gone before us. Remember them with joy. Remember all that Christ has done for us. Remember all that God is doing in our midst. So there's power in the greeting. When you greet all. It would be terrible if someone came in through the door and felt that they were not greeted because we were all greeting our friends. It would be awful if they left the church and no one had said hello and no one had engaged with them and encouraged them, smiled at them, and hopefully blessed them. But it's possible if we are not focused on the idea of all, on the power of all, and in the remembrance of all. It's possible to do that. We can lose the power of the greeting. We can lose also the power of remembering all, remembering our pastors. I don't know of any other church that has pastors representing the different generations down the stairs like East Hill does. I think that's powerful. We're remembering every generation, every ministry, and with that they represent all that have come before us. There is power in remembering all. There is power in greeting all. But most of all, most importantly, we see that there is power in praying for all. Look at the next verse as we read, getting back to the passage. In verse 4, Paul then says from his prison, he says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests, what? For you all. Do you see that again? When you read this passage, it's amazing. I greet you all. I remember you all. And now I'm telling you, I am praying for you all. He is an apostle. He is a minister. He is a minister of the gospel. And he is praying for them all. Not just collectively. Not just collectively. He's praying for them by name. He's praying for them. I love on Monday morning when we come together and sometimes we will be able to and someone will pray by name for people in the church. We pray for you by name. We pray for you because Jesus says, my sheep know me and I know their name. They are important to the shepherd and we pray for each one by name. You will be prayed for by name if you come and are part of this church. By name, we will pray for you. Why? Because we will pray for you all. Not just for some. No one is above the other person. No one is more important than the other person. No one is greater than the other person. When we get that, no one is more cooler than the other person. This little cool group or that cool group. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we have those groups. In fact, if anything, I don't see that much in this church at all, and I thank God for it. But there are some churches where you get that, where people will just gang up together in their little groups, and they're comfortable. No, that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying, I greet you all. I pray for you all. I include you all. You are all part of the story called the church. And when I greet all of you, when I remember all of you, when I pray for all of you by name, it is there that I find my joy and my strength. And then he goes on to say, I can do this. How can we do this? Why doesn't this happen generally and easily in most churches? Yesterday, we heard the testimony that someone was saying, I think it was Pastor Honey, that when he went into churches, he saw all these churches when he came from Egypt. And when he went into the churches, he realized that the churches were struggling within themselves. They didn't have the vision to go out and to proclaim Christ. And it was hard for him to see that. And then someone else said, as Baptists, we're really good at not being together on the same page. And it was one of the ladies, and she said, we're good at doing that because we're so fiercely independent. But Paul is the opposite of that. Paul is the opposite. He is saying we've all got to get on the same page. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to be the greatest of friends and all accept each other 100%. No, but what I am saying is that we are all in this together. And we've got to work together to the glory of God. If this church is going to break out, if this church is going to break out and reach this community for Christ in a real way, in the way that God expects us to, we've got to all be engaged. And we've got to support each other and encourage each other and love one another. By this shall they know I'm your disciples, that you love one another. Now, if we get that, then we will gain power and encouragement. It won't matter what the prison is. It won't matter what the mountain is that we are climbing. It won't matter what the difficulty it is. What will matter is that we will have the power and the enthusiasm and the encouragement to overcome the obstacle in the name of Jesus, because we will be doing it together. That is the power of the church. That's the secret of the church. And a church that can learn to do everything together in power, in partnership, and in a sense, in community, will be a church that is gathered for power. Gathered for power. Paul, in his prison, felt the power of the church, the joy of the church, the encouragement of the church, because he prayed for them all. He greeted them all. He knew them all. May we learn from Paul in his prison today. On this Remembrance Sunday, as we remember those who fell from our church, those who fell on the fields in Flanders, as we remember them, may we also remember those who have fallen for the sake of the gospel, those who have fallen for the cause of Christ, and may we remember all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. As we come to close this afternoon, we are now going to invite our candidates to come up as we present our certificates to them. Thank you. The verse on the certificate says this: "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, and he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Amen. And then it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Amen.